So, for example, you would take the GeoLife and Work app, and where people can put in their resumes and they can register intellectual property and copyrightable property, patentable intellectual property. You can then take that, and then you would compare it against LinkedIn, you know, and in some sense, the patent office and the copyright office, but at a minimum, LinkedIn. Or you would take a social app and you might compare that against Facebook or Twitter X or pick your favorite social that you love to hate. Or you might take, you know, something like Geode's Market app and compare it against Amazon because similar features, things like that. And this is typically how these valuations are done. So you can look at that type of app comparison, and then you can look at the value of the chain as infrastructure, that kind of thing. And that's how you would typically do it. And when a chain is fairly new, that gets a little tougher, but you will see, you know, if they're working with VCs, they're going to do a valuation that's more that comparison-based valuation. If they've been up and running for a while, then you would probably go with more of a revenue-style model, right? How much coin is really moving through there? What kind of transaction fees are being spent on a daily basis, you know, in terms of how much is going to the validator nodes and how much is going into the treasury from that. And so that would give you a pretty good idea of kind of value based on actual users, actual usage of the system, not just usage of the apps, but usage of the infrastructure as well to deploy apps or to transfer coin. And so, although that's a much more complicated and much more real-world value-based concept than just scarcity or rarity, it's one where you're actually measuring on Ethereum and Geode real value, real potential value, real actual value, comparative value, or actual revenue value. And so that kind of value capture is the sort of thing that, you know, Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger used to get kind of upset about. They'd go, well, there's nothing out there that's practical. There's nobody doing anything practical and useful. To which at this point I would say, hello, hi, we're Geode, and we're doing practical, useful things that capture real value. And so if scarcity is all you've got to back up your coin, then you have to drum up that fear of missing out. And the more you drum up that fear, and there's this thing in Bitcoin called the fear and greed index. Yikes. But that's what the value is based on. It's based on fear and greed. The value of Bitcoin is based on fear and greed. The value of Ethereum is based on actual value being transacted on the chain, whether it's just coin transactions or app usage and app deployment. And similarly on Geode is going to be more of an app comparison at this point in terms of valuation. But this is what we typically see. The large majority of coins do not cap their total supply. Some of them in the beginning, they were like, can't they change that? Yeah, they could change that. Polkadot's been talking. There was a swirling rumor, a discussion of maybe they should cap supply. They could. They could choose to. Now, if they choose to do that, if they choose to cap their supply, which at the moment, Polkadot is inflationary like Geode and like Ethereum, but they could choose to cap their supply, do a software upgrade, and do that, and try to capitalize on some of that fear of missing out, that scarcity, that fear and greed. I would not like to see that for Geode. I hope that statement ages well. I think the idea of continually minting creates space for everyone to become involved across the world. When you cap the supply, like Bitcoin, we can see now, 15 years later, how that plays out. And it plays out in a way that, who's got the Bitcoin? There's a very small number of people with very large amounts. So over time, it has consolidated into centers of power because of its limited supply. And I suppose that could happen to any coin. But as you continue to print, you have continued opportunity from treasury proposals and doing work and running validators and running nominators for anyone to get in on that and to have possession of that. So that's why at the moment for Geode, I like our inflationary model. I like that we're printing new coin every day with no intention to stop. And so in relation to more prevalent fiats like US dollar, I am not an economist and this is not financial advice, but similarly, just take a look at how fiat currencies relate to each other, right? So go look at the Forex market and go look at the kind of headlines that make the dollar go up or down against the yen or the euro or pick another fiat. It's all about how these countries are choosing to grow or suppress their own economies. And that makes the value of one currency go up or down against another. And you see very similar things in the crypto world as well, right? Because people don't just trade, you know, Geode for dollars, Ethereum for dollars, Bitcoin for dollars. People trade Bitcoin for Ethereum, Ethereum for Polkadot, Polkadot for Bitcoin. And it goes all around, right? It's much more like a Forex market. Much more like Forex than anything else. And so the value of these different currencies, like if the US, you could argue that value is based on the gross domestic product, the GDP, and some would say, well, that's an outdated measure. And I think you're probably right, but it's sort of what we've got at the moment. The productivity, the value inherently being transferred into and out of the country and around inside the country and things like that, right? So capture of value, it's a bit of a revenue-based model, but more of a value capture. And again, I'm not an economist, but this is my best take on what I tell you is a tough question. So nice. This is good. This is making me think. So that's why cryptocurrencies have value. And that's why the values of different cryptocurrencies are so wildly different from each other. Because there's a lot more activity going on the Ethereum network than there is on Polkadot, but then that's about to drastically increase over on Polkadot with what they're doing right now. Geode is set up for something similar. And so it's just, you know, they've all been around different amounts of time, have different amounts of activity, different types of activity, different transaction fee models and things like that. So anyway, if anything has value, it's going to be based either on just scarcity and fear or actual value capture from a revenue perspective or from a sometimes from inherent or intrinsic value capture as well. That probably needs its own video. But that's the basics. That's why these coins have values and have different values and things like that. So it's something to consider. When you're looking at a particular crypto, why does it have value? Is it scarcity? Is it fear? Or in the case of meme coins, I guess I have to address meme coins. Meme coins are literally they're just for fun. They're just a joke. It's something funny. It has a funny logo. It represents something funny. It's supposed to be entertaining. So when you look at meme coins and what's the value of a meme coin based on, you could say it's based on the number of people it brings joy to. Yeah, maybe. But most of the time it's just based on pure speculation. So that would be a greed factor, right? So Bitcoin's value is based on fear. Meme coin's value is based on greed. And then you have your utility tokens, Ethereum, Geode, Polkadot, etc., Cardano, Solana, that are based on value capture, intrinsic and extrinsic value capture. So there you go. There's the basics. Great question. I hope I answered it in a way that's what you're looking for. Send me more questions and thoughts and ideas. And thank you for joining me. I'll see you next time.